Morning, please, and turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 1 this morning. We're going to read verses 26 through 38 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read silently this morning. That's Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Please stand to your feet this morning in honor of God's word as we read the word of God together. That's Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this season that we do celebrate the coming of your Son. God, what a great time. What a great honor. Lord, I pray today that you would speak to our hearts about this. Make us better Christians. Make us have better Christmas season this year because of what we hear today. Now, Father, to accomplish this, we ask that you'd anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power as he comes and speaks. And Father, one last thing. If there's someone in this room today that does not know this Jesus, the Son of God, as their personal Savior, today they would settle it before they leave this room. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
Now, as you're being seated this morning, if you're a clock watcher, the service is now over. Please make sure your cell phone is turned off or vibrate. If it goes off during the service, those relatives who are coming to visit you are going to just stay and live at your house permanently. Now that's worth checking the phone for right there, yes? Good. I ask you to sit still, listen very carefully. Our Lord's Supper Sunday mornings cause our service to go a little bit longer than we would normally do. It's not that we're in a hurry, but we do want to try to stay on schedule. We have four other church services going on right now on this property, and we want to be sure we coordinate with them and what they're doing too. And so we're going to be careful about that. We're entering the Christmas season. Now, for some, it's just the holiday time. Now, once again, we're not going to foam at the mouth and get all upset about people who do not want to say Merry Christmas. But we're going to say Merry Christmas. Everywhere we go, everyone you talk to, everyone that you see, tell them Merry Christmas. Now, they may say Happy Holidays and whatever else they do. That's their business. We want to say Merry Christmas because it's Merry, it means happy, joyful, enjoy. Christmas means Christ sent. enjoy the fact that Christ was sent to us. Merry Christmas. Now, during these next, we have three Sundays before Christmas time. There is so much about the account of Christ coming to be with us in the Bible that has so much rich truth in it. I love the characters of the Christmas story. The wise men, the shepherds, Joseph, Mary, of course, Jesus, the central character. Then there's Herod and the people who missed the Christmas story and those sorts of things. The events of the Christmas story, amazing. What we're going to do, though, with three Sundays is we're going to take the three main characters of the Christmas account in the Bible. I'm going to present them to you because I want you to get your mind on this thing about Christmas, that Jesus came to be with us. See, what are the three main characters of the Christmas account in the Bible? Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. And today I want to talk to you about Mary. Brother James sang about that great song. I love that song. The song he sang today about Mary not knowing, did she really know what she had? Well, in the account of Scripture, she did know. In Luke chapter 1, the Bible says in verse number 26 that the angel Gabriel came and told her. Now understand this. Mary was a virgin. She was not just a good woman. She was not just a young woman. Mary was a virgin. She never knew a man. And she was told by angelic witness, messenger from Gabriel, that she was to give birth. Imagine that. A woman who never knew a man was to give birth. It would be a miraculous birth. Friend, listen to me carefully. If Jesus was not born of a virgin, then he is no more different than any other human being ever walked this planet. To attack the virgin birth is to attack the Word of God. It's to attack the person of Jesus Christ himself. And by the way, if we don't have a virgin-born, miraculous-born Son of God, then we do not have a miraculous Savior. We don't have any hope of salvation. We just have a man who said a bunch of stuff and died, and that was the end of it. But since Jesus was born of a virgin, we have a miraculous birth. We have a miraculous Savior. We have the hope of salvation because He wasn't like us. He was born of a woman, but He was born of a virgin, and He did not have an earthly father. And so we have this person. The person of Mary in the Bible is either completely idolized and worshipped by some, or she's completely ignored. But the Mary of the Bible is often, in our churches usually, Mary is pretty much ignored because of religions who make so much out of Mary. I've been in third world countries before where you'll see a crucifix and there's Jesus nailed to one side of the cross, and you go around to the back side of the cross and there's Mary nailed on the other side of the cross. I've seen buildings, 7, 8, 10-story buildings with a great painting picture of Mary standing there holding religious articles in her hands with a statement over it says, "By this I will save the world." There are those who pray to her. They think she has some access to God. And they pray to Mary. I was driving down through the Central Valley here in California one day. Big billboard, 1-800-CALL-MARY. I thought, man, that is some kind of connection to get a hold of her up there. What kind of cell phone tower you got to have to get to Mary, for goodness sakes. There are people who pray to her thinking somehow or another she has access to God nobody else has. That's the error side of the person of Mary. But here's what happens. But because of that, and Mary was a pure woman and a great woman, no question. The most common name for women on this planet is Mary. And good reason. But because she is idolized and worshipped and prayed to and considered to have some kind of intermediary work, there are religions that teach she's perpetually a virgin, even after her conception and birth and all of that. No, her and Joseph after that came together as a husband and a wife, and she had more children, etc. It's unscriptural, it's unbiblical, it's traditional things that put her in a place, in substitutionary place, of the Lord Jesus Christ. All you have to do is read a few more verses down in Luke chapter 1. You'll see Mary calling Him Lord and acknowledging Christ as her Savior. She needed to be saved just like you and I did. But because some idolize her and lift her up, there are many who just completely ignore her. And I think that's a mistake. Ladies and gentlemen, we who accept and understand that Christ had to be born of a virgin accept this account of this young, pure woman who gets a visitation from an angel and is told she will have a miraculous conception and give birth without having known a man and bring into the world not just a miraculous child, the Son of God, who would die for the sins of the world And Mary's response is verse 38. Look at it. Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. She said, "Yes, sir, if that's what God wants." See, this is a great lady. She's an amazing person when you stop to think about the circumstances and the condition of it all. Mary, we want to talk about this great character of Scripture for a moment. Consider this truth. By the way, what you will learn about Mary and her, what made her a great person in the Scriptures and in life and her decision will help us in our lives with great truths that will teach us how God could do something with our life also. Consider this truth about Mary. Number one, that she had a part. She was a part of God's plan. See, Mary does not know this. She knows the prophecies of Scripture. She knows Isaiah 7:14, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son." She knows Isaiah 9:6. She knows in Jeremiah where it says that a woman would encompass a man. In fact, young women in that day, in the day of Mary, young women who, before they came to be wives, expected and hoped that their purity would bring them the opportunity to bear this promised child. It wasn't that it was unknown to them that a virgin would conceive. It was unknown who it would be. But ladies and gentlemen, do you realize when Gabriel comes to Mary, he tells her, "You are highly favored of the Lord." That means, Mary, God has chosen you to be that one. And in that moment, she must realize she is the person of the plan of God to save mankind. She was a part of God's plan and initially did not know it. But that moment, Mary suddenly must realize that God had a plan for the ages. And he brought about that plan and he needed to find a pure... What did she look like? What was her character level? What was her heritage? What was her life like? What do we know about Mary before Luke chapter 1? We don't know anything about her. We don't know what she looked like. We don't know what kind of character or traits that she had. I can guarantee you this, dear people. She must have been an exceptional woman because she's not just going to give birth to Jesus. She's going to raise him. And it would appear past the age of 12 or 13, she would do it by herself. She was a part of God's plan. God's will or God's plan, ladies and gentlemen, we must understand this. God has a plan for you also. If we could just get the scope of the will of God for a moment and understand that the Almighty God of heaven has a great plan for the ages. And in the midst of that plan, each and every one of us have a part in the plan of God. He designed a plan, the will of God, and he designed you as a part of that plan. God has drawn up his plan, his will for our lives. And he knew when we would be born. He knew when our life would take place. He knew what we would become, weaknesses and strengths, flaws and failures. He knew all of it, and God saw in his plan what he intended for you to be and to become also. In Mary's case, she's to be the virgin who would conceive and give birth to Christ and then raise him in his life. It's amazing. The further you go into the Gospel of Luke, the more you will find that Jesus, born the Son of God and God the Son before he was born, came into this world but had to grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. He had to be taught what the Bible said. He didn't come into the world with omnipotence and all understanding. He came into this world like you and me, limited in our knowledge and our understanding, and had to be taught who he was and taught what the Bible said. And that would be Mary. At the knee of Mary, he would receive the instruction he would need in his life. She was a part of this plan. Now, friend, listen to me. From Mary, we understand this. We understand the importance of God's will for our lives. God has a plan, my friend. And you are a part of that plan also. He knew when you'd be born. He knew when you would have breath in your body. He knew when you would live. And God put a plan for your life as a part of his plan. First time I was a boy, I believe I was about 8 or 9 years of age, maybe a little bit older. I happened to be sitting in a church service and I heard a preacher say, "God has a plan for your life. It's called God's will." Ladies and gentlemen, that started a fire in my bones, and from that day to this, my desire is to know and to do God's will for my life. Because that puts me in the plan of the ages. That puts me in the plan that God designed and put forward. And God has a plan for you. We don't know why, besides her purity, Mary was chosen. We know she was highly favored of the Lord. We know God said, that's the young lady right there. That's her. And he chose her to become the virgin mother of Jesus Christ. Did you know that God looked down and saw you? And God decided and desired and drew up a plan for your life also. Now, friend, look at me. Whatever it is, and I can tell you how what it is, it's found within the bindings of this book called the Bible. Whatever that plan is, we must know that plan. We must know what the will of God is. We've got to find out why we were put on this earth and what our purpose and reason for living is. Imagine Mary after the appointment with Gabriel, after the angel went away, and she said, then be it unto me. At that moment, I believe, is when the Spirit of God came upon Mary and planted the seed of embryo of Christ in her body. At that moment, that plan went forward and everything was in order. All God had to find was someone who was willing to say, yes, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. And that's the step, friend, you and I must learn to take in our lives. God has a plan. He said, but preacher, I got saved when I was older in my life, and what in the world could God want from me, or what could he have for my life? He still has a plan for you. I don't care if you got saved 6 weeks ago or 60 years ago. God has a plan for your life. We need to know what that is, and you'll know it as you follow what the Word of God says. You know what's great about Mary that we learned? She received Christ by faith. We think of the conception. The miraculous conception. Some religions teach that Mary and God had physical relations. That's heresy. That's disgusting, number one. Number two, it's heresy. God created this body, friend. If he wants to put an embryo in the body of a pure woman, he can do it. He has the power and the ability to do so. But what happened here is Mary simply was told by the angel a message from God. That's God's word. That she would receive miraculously by the Holy Spirit, that's the work of the Holy Spirit, the Christ child in her body, that's Christ coming in to live within her body, and that she would give birth to him. You know what it is? It's a picture of salvation. You know how a person is saved, receives Christ as their Savior? First they hear the Word of God. The Bible tells them, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. The Bible tells them, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible tells them, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14 and verse 6. The Bible tells them, John 3:36, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The Bible tells them, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. The Bible tells us salvation is through Christ and Christ alone. I must trust Christ. You must trust the Bible who told you to trust Christ. Mary was visited by an angel. Say, boy, if I had an angelic visit, that would make a big difference to me. No, it wouldn't. You have something better than a personal visit from an angel. You have the written Word of God in your hand this morning. And the Bible tells us that salvation is through Christ. Not through baptism, not through works, not through religion, through Jesus Christ. That's where salvation is. She received the Word of God. She accepted what God told her. Then the Bible says the Holy Spirit of God came upon her. That conception was a miraculous work. Did you realize that salvation cannot be worked for or something we produce, because we cannot produce miracles? God is the only miracle worker. Well, I've done something that was miraculous, Pastor Johnson. No, you did something, and if God blessed it in a miraculous way, it was still the work of God. When the Holy Spirit, my friend, points to you, to Jesus, and he always does, the Holy Spirit always points us to Christ. The Word of God. The Spirit of God. And then you have to receive the person of Christ. Mary received Christ into her body. That's who you receive to be saved. You receive Christ. You don't receive the church, you receive Christ. You don't receive communion, you receive Christ. You don't receive the rites of the church, you receive Christ. That's who you're receiving. Now look here, that's helpful to us this morning, because that way, if you've had bad experience with religion and you've had bad experience with some church, you don't have to worry about that, friend, because you don't have to receive church to go to heaven. You have to receive Christ to go to heaven, but you have to receive Christ. And when she said, I will, did she immediately receive Christ? That moment of conception took place, the moment of her faith in what God told her. And that's how salvation works. See, Mary's great because she's a perfect picture of salvation. I'm sorry for people who think they have to work it out, work it up, work it down, work it through. I'm sorry for people who think they have to work on it, they have to work at it, they have to hold out faithful to the end. Mary received the person, the seed of Christ, the moment she trusted what God told her and the Spirit of God came upon her. She had the conception of Christ in her womb in that instant. That's why salvation is instantaneous. The moment you trust Christ, God gives you salvation. At that moment, you have salvation and eternal life. That's why you can't be working for it. Mary received Christ. She simply received Christ by faith. You know what you learn about Mary in this great account of Scripture here is this. She was willing. That verse 38 statement there, be it unto me. She was willing. A lot of people think that God's ability to use us is dependent on a survey. What do you call it when you go to try to get a job? You turn in a resume. Thank you very much. I knew what it was. I just want to see if you're awake. A resume. Sometimes we think the Christian life is about a resume. Well, he's looking for this talent, this ability, this trait, this thing, that thing. You know what's the number one ability God looks for? Availability. That's what he looks for. This young lady just says, then be it unto me. It's done. She conceived in her body the person of Christ, and the miracle and the work that God would do to save mankind took place because she was simply willing to do what God asked her to do. Now that's powerful, ladies and gentlemen. She knew what God had promised her and she was willing to yield to it. What area of your life have you yet to yield to God? Simply because you're not willing. Simply because I'm just not willing to give that up yet. I'm not willing to make that step yet. I'm not, because that's what it is. It's a willingness on our part. Once you know what the Bible says to do, it's simply a matter of saying yes and being obedient. That's all there is to it. That's the difference between someone who is a good Christian growing and going forward in their life and someone who is not. It's not about circumstances. It's not about conditions. It's not about what you face or do not face. It's not about the trouble I'm going through in my life. Well, after the holidays, you said that last Christmas. Well, after when things settled down in my life, that's never going to happen. I quit saying that one a long time ago. When I get more time, I don't have more time. I don't have enough time. And if one more person says, if I just had more hours in the day, I'm going to slap them. No, thank you very much. 24 is plenty. I wear that thing out, go to bed and get up and try again tomorrow. But the whole matter of this thing isn't, well, I'm just thinking about what I should do. So when God tells you to do something, you need to think about it. Is that how you operate in your house with your children? Son, take out the trash. I'm thinking about it. Okay, I want you to think it over. I do. I want you to think it over carefully, son. I want you to be sure that you're in touch with your inner child and inside, in full contact with your feminine side, son. Because I don't want you to do anything until you think about it. Isn't that how a good parent would do, right? I want you to clean your room. I'm thinking about it. Okay, son, not a problem. Young lady, don't worry about it. We need a roadmap to find your bed and a machete to get to the closet. But don't worry about it. When you feel like it, when you think about it. Not a parent on this planet puts up with that kind of hogwash. You tell your children to do something, you expect them to do it. They can think about it while they're doing it, but just get it done. Am I all right on that one? You going to turn me into CPS for that? Is that cruelty? Beats that junk of your kid running the household, I can tell you that. So our God in heaven wants us to think about it. Why do you think he wrote it in the Bible? So you can think about it? No, to do it. Mary just said, please get the picture one more time. She is being told, she will be with child without a husband. This day and age, 40-some percent of children born in America today are born with parents who are not married. In those days, you were put to death. I'm not saying that's what we should do now. I'm simply saying it was a death sentence. At the very least, they would hide them until they gave birth because of a shame and disgrace it was to the family. Now she's being told she's engaged to be married. Now she not only has to let her family know, she's got to tell her future husband. she's with child of the Holy Ghost. This is not a simple matter for her. Not a simple matter at all. She's not going to get any societal support. She's not going to get anything good out of this at all. Nothing good will come out of this decision for Mary initially. But when she knew it was from God and what he told her to do, her response was, "Be it unto me." That says, "Yes, sir." That says, "Yes, sir." And she yielded to it. Christian, look at me. This thing about our Mary-like Christianity is really about willingness. What does the Bible tell you? What do you need to get off the dime about and stop thinking on and get with the program? This thing about Mary also teaches us that this decision she makes affects many. If you're saved this morning, you can thank God for salvation. You can thank the Lord Jesus for saving you. You can thank the person who led you to Christ. Every Lord's Supper, when I'm standing down here, I think about Pastor Jacobson. American Baptist Church, Antioch, California. I was 9 years old, and he preached the gospel, faithfully preached the gospel. Now, I was in American Baptist Church, and I don't want to offend any of my former American Baptist friends here this morning, but that thing was deader than Job's turkey. Oh, man, it had choir robes and the sevenfold amen and the Gloria Patri and all that stuff. Holy, holy, which is a great song, but not if you sing it like that. Holy, holy, holy. And if you must whisper, whisper a prayer. And it was dead quiet in there. Kind of like this. And it was in there. He never said anything funny. Not one time. The only thing he did was funny was lick his lips. And he licked his lips after every word he spoke. Dearly beloved, we are together today. And my brother and I used to sit there and count it. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. I got 52. I got 56. You missed two. Where did that happen? I didn't see that. And he licked his, I think he died of terminal case of chapped lips, if I remember right. But he preached the gospel, and he preached the gospel faithfully. As a 9-year-old boy, I stood there in those rows between those pews and realized I was lost and I needed to accept Christ as my Savior. I can thank God. Every Lord's Supper, I thank God for Pastor Jacobson. He was an older gentleman then. And that was, never mind, way back there. And before I wore diapers, way back there, a long time back. And I remember him. I thank God for that preacher. You know what? You can also thank Mary, because if she didn't say yes, you wouldn't have had salvation. Many, she said, many will call me blessed. She wasn't asking for worship. She got the picture, the scope of the bigness of doing what God wants you to do. Many will be blessed for that. No, we want the blessings for me. What do I get out of it? What do I receive? No. She said, many will call me blessed for this because I am willing to bring the Savior of the world into this world. So, well, I don't think I have a project that big. Doesn't make any difference. If history teaches us anything, it teaches us that history is affected by people who did their part when their time came. And their part had affected history and made a difference, not only in history, but in the Word of God and the will of God, made a difference in the lives of many. Many of you today, you're making an impact in people's lives and don't realize the scope and the expanse of that. Just because we had a Mary mentality. Be it unto me, Lord, as you have spoken. We celebrate a Christmas season, and the reason we do is because a Savior was sent to us. And the God of heaven had a plan. And then there were these people who, when their time came, they stepped up and did their part, and God's plan is fulfilled. Don't you see, friend, that's you and me today.